Okay, thank you very much for joining the Thursday night shiur on Aznayim LaTorah. Really, I have some beautiful, beautiful. Yisrael David Eli Melech. We really have some. It was worth the price of admission tonight. We really have some really, really good stuff. You'll be happy you came. Really great stuff this week. Thank you very much for joining. Come, come. You got a good seat, really. Good seat. Let's try to dedicate the learning tonight to the safety of the hostages, the safety of the chayalim. And let's get right into it. And it's so unbelievable, you know, when you read the parsha every week, how the ideas of the parsha somehow, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world, but it's amazing how the parsha speaks directly what's going on. And I would say that in the first couple of pieces we're going to learn together, it's mamish talking like exactly the time that we find ourselves in. So let's jump right in. Perek Vav. Pasuk Beis, the very first pasuk of the parsha, literally, exactly what we're talking about. So, Vayidaber Elokim El Moshe. So, Elokim is Midas Hadin. Elokim speaks to Moshe, but then it says, right, the next words, Vayomer Elav, Ani Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei. So, what's going on? It starts with Elokim, which is Midas Hadin, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hashem is Midas Arachman. What's going on? So, Diber Ito Mishpat. So, Hashem got angry with him. Why did he get angry? Because what was the very end of last week's parasha? Moshe Rabbeinu says, what's going on over here? You sent me to deliver the people out, and stuff's gotten worse. They took away the straw. They kept it. What's going on? You sent me to do it, and it didn't happen. So Hashem got upset with him for complaining. Got upset with him for complaining. Hey, how you doing? Great to see you. Hashem got upset with him. We still got good seats left. Hashem got upset with him for complaining. Rashi. So Rashi quotes that Hashem got angry with Moshe Rabbeinu for complaining. Why did it get worse? Just like nowadays, right? People say, like, how did Hashem allow this to happen? How did Hashem allow this to happen? It's a good question. Moshe Rabbeinu said, here you sent me, and it only got worse. Visham Ne'amar. In the last week's parasha, Vayoshev Moshe al Hashem, and those nine Latorah explained, Dubiarnu, Shechazer bo Moshe min Hashlichus. Moshe backed out. He backed out. U'b'pashas u'demolim pi Hashem shidulim chadashim. New Hashem convincing him anew. Sheyelech ligol sisov. Vayomer lo ani Hashem. V'chein siva. Lachein emor l'bnei Yisrael ani Hashem. Haynu. Shekol ha'ufa'a u'muzara azot. Right? You're complaining about the fact that everything got bad, right? Everything went sour. Everything seems like it's going in the wrong direction. And you're complaining. Ha-ha-ra'a nirit slova lehem b'matzavam. Which appeared to you as ha-ra'a. That it's going all bad. It's going the wrong direction. But you should know, ba' mimidas ha-rachamim. So vayomer Elokim al Moshe. So Midas Hadin says to Moshe, let me explain to you something. What looks to you like Midas Hadin is really Midas ha-rachamim. We have to believe that all the din is actually really rachman. V'hib emes hatava. What looks to you like hara'a is actually hatava. Ki. What? How so? Why is the bad good? It's going to be this piece as well as the next piece. We'll put them all together and speak about it together. Well, how is it good? Since the matzav of Klal Yisrael, it looks like it's, you know, mamish, nobody's leading the ship, below Nisu, nobody's carrying it, it's going worse and worse. Because of that, because they keep sliding and their matzav keeps getting worse and worse, Tavo tekef hagula hashlema bedalat hafoset. The worse it gets, the more urgent it is to get them out of there. So first of all, what, like in heavens, they'll understand, oh my gosh, they're about to get wiped out. It's time to get them out of there, number one. Also, you won't find any members of Klal Yisrael who are actually going to want to stay behind in Egypt because the thing got so bad there. They wanted out of there. All of the psukim, were here to try to convince Moshe to go with the shlichus. Let's just do the next piece also, and then I'm going to pause to talk about this. But the key point here is that oftentimes, what looks like Midas Hadin, we are supposed to realize is actually Midas Harachamim. What looks like bad stuff, we don't understand it. It looks like Din. We can't necessarily read between the lines, but we believe that it's Rachamim. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but let's first see the next piece. Vayidaber. Dibor, the first word of the parasha, Dibor is Lashon Kasha. Hischa b'dibor Kasha. Lo diosh chata b'amar lam yosa. He's angry with him. What are you complaining? Avol rak regabah post. He has two explanations. Because what do you mean? He starts off the parasha getting angry with him with dibor, but then it's vayomer. Yomer is a softer language. He starts off with din, then goes to rachum. So what's going on? So avol rak regabah apo. We say every morning, right? Ki regabah apo. In other words, when Hashem gets angry at Moshe Rabbeinu, he gets angry with him just for a minute. Just for a minute. V'tekev nisra'at l'amako muslos rabba loshna miraraka. Vayomer lo ani Hashem. So the first pasuk is trying to teach that, yeah, Hashem got angry at Moshe for a moment. But then, because he's, and again, he's going to give the second shot. So first of all, his anger was only for a moment. Ki rega ba'apo, chayim ritzono. Hashem doesn't get angry for a long period of time. Just got angry for a moment. And then in the second shot, it'll explain why dafka here. He only got, od, efshalomer, alpiha amur. Another pshat we could say, based on the Gemara in Tainus, il moli choniato, gozrani alecha lenados, choni hamagol, the famous choni hamagol, made a circle and said to God, I'm not moving from here until, so the Gemara says there, that was inappropriate, you don't talk to God like that, who are you, I don't care who you are, so Hashem says there, Baskol comes out and says, il moli choniato, gozrani alecha lenados, if you weren't choni, I would have a problem with you, avol ma'asa, he's such a tzaddik, and he davens for Klal Yisrael. And Choni was the type of righteous person, so Hashem couldn't hold it against him. Af es hagaor b'Moshe, hischlashem b'vayidaber. Leimar il mali Moshe ataroy haya shemidas hadin t'dabrit chakoshos. Avam mikemin shemoshe atar. Had you not been Moshe, I would have slammed you over the head. But since you're Moshe, vayomrei love ani Hashem. He right away spoke to him softly. So let's first talk a little bit about. This point maybe it's even the, let's see. Let's include even the next piece before we go. One more piece, and then I'll talk about this again. So in the first piece, he said even what looks like din is really rachman. In the second piece, he said I'm not going to hold my anger against you. Well, let's go to the third piece. Vayidaber el kamani Hashem. You sparred all possession. Over the Aliyah Haminim B'shtei Rishuyos. The non-Jews in the olden days believed there was a God of good and a God of evil. That was the classic idol worshippers, or the classic heretics, believed there was two gods, a God of good and a God of evil. Over the Aliyah Haminim B'shtei Rishuyos. Po'el Tov u'Po'el Ra. There was a God of good and a God of evil. Right? It makes, in a certain sense, it makes a lot of sense. Like, as the Pasuk says in Eicha, how could there be a God who punishes and gets angry and a God who just looks to do things good? There's a certain logic in that. The Klal Yisrael was steeped in the ideology of Egypt. Right? Moshe came and said, I'm the man. And what happens? It gets bad. So Klal Yisrael said, ever since this dude, Moshe Rabbeinu, came on the scene, stuff has just gotten worse and worse and worse. L'chein dibar elokim Moshe v'tziva le'mar gam l'bnei Yisrael. Ani Hashem, shegedol l'maise elokei Yisrael l'hara u'leheitiv gam yachad. Don't lose hope. Vayidaber elokim, the same elokim is Ani Hashem. Shegedol l'maise l'hara u'leheitiv gam yachad. There's no two gods. And that's the way God presented himself in the Ten Commandments on Har Sinai. Kel Kano, he's a vengeant God. Poked Avon Avos Albanim, he punishes. The same God. So I don't know, Yisrael David Elamelech, I don't know if you chazed with your son, but this was This is a topic that Kamenetsky loves to talk about, the Kliyakar. The Kliyakar. And every day we say one of the most important psukim in all of Judaism is Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And the Kliyakar says, what does it mean, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad? Exactly this idea. Shema Yisrael, listen, Jewish people. Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, that's Rachman. Elokeinu, Din. It's all Hashem Echad. Don't be like the Goyim who think there's a God of good and a God of evil. It's all Hashem Echad. What looks to us like it's Din is actually all Rachamim. We don't see it right away as Rachamim, but Hashem Echad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't Rachamim. As a matter of fact, the Gemara and Brachos, I happen to be learning this sugi this year, and for the last 6 or 7 years I've been teaching Brachos. But anyway, so the Gemara says, we say every morning, Yotzer Or Uvori Choshech. In the morning we say. And at night we say, Golel Or Mipnei Choshech V'choshech Pimno. So the Gemara wants to know, it's the morning. Why in the world are you mentioning the night? In the nighttime, why in the world are you mentioning the morning? It should be enough. Just say, talk about the morning in the morning and talk about the night in the night. So the Gemara says, Gemara and Brachos and Daf, Yudam Mid Beis, Kidei Lahaskir Midas Yom Balayim. Maybe it's Yud Aleph and Beis, I forgot already. Kidei Lahaskir, I think it's Yud Aleph and Beis, Kidei Lahaskir Midas Yom Balayim, Midas Laila Biyom. That we need to mention the night during the day and the day during the nighttime. Asks Rabbeinu Yonah, why? So he quotes the Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara says that there was a certain Apikorus who said that the God who made the wind didn't make the mountains, and the God who made the mountains didn't make the winds. There's different curses there, but the God who was the God of light, which is the God of good, people would think is not the God of darkness, not the God of bad. So that's why we say, Yotzer Or Vori Choshech. Said Rav Soloveitchik so beautifully, that the themes, why are there three Birchas Kriya Shema in the morning? There's three paragraphs of Shema, three Birchas Kriya Shema. The theme of each bracha lines up with a different paragraph of Shema. So what's the first bracha? Yotzer Or Vori Choshech. What's the first paragraph of Shema? Shema Yisrael Shema Kan Hashem Echad. If you say like this Kliyakar and this Rabbeinu Yonah, it fits in beautifully. The first paragraph of Shema is all about Din and Rachamim is all one Hashem. That's why the first bracha of Kriya Shema is Yotzer Or Vori Choshech. The same God who created light, created darkness. It's the same thing. That theme, the idea is that, and that's, I think, the Kavanah. I mean, there's different Kavanahs, different Mepharshim say, but when we say Shema every day, that's probably what you should be thinking about, Shema Yisrael. Some say it means Hashem is Elokeinu now, is going to be in the future Hashem Echad. But I think many say like this Kriyakar, he's not the only one who says this. That's what I think about when I say Shema every morning. Shema Yisrael, what looks like bad, Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei Rachman, Elokeinu. What looks like good and what looks like bad is all Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei Echad, it's all Rachman. So this is the same shot that the Oznayim LaTorah says in the first Pasuk. Vayidaber Elokim El Moshe, Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. Don't think there's two gods. And don't think what looks to you as Elohim. Either the first shot we said is, what looks to you as Elohim is really Rachman. Or don't think there's two gods. It's all one God. It's all one God. And I thought that's so appropriate. When Klal Yisrael is in an Eis Tzara, we tend to like wonder, like, where's Hashem? Where is he? What's he doing? What's going on? It looks like it's going in the wrong direction. Mamish, like we're saying here, it looks like it's going in the wrong direction. We have to have Emunah. We have to have Emunah. That even what looks to us like bad, Hashem has some plan to turn it into good. Let's continue. Ah, another beautiful piece. I'm telling you, there's such great stuff here. Such great stuff tonight. Va'iral Abraham El Yitzhak Vel Yaakov Ushmi Hashem Lo Nodati Lahem. I appear to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Bekel Shakai, but my name Yud Kei Vav Kei, I never revealed them. And you'll remember that the Oznayim LaTorah frequently is commenting on Rashi. It's like a super commentary on Rashi. So he quotes Rashi. Loni kait lembibinis amitos sheli. Shalene krosh mi Hashem. Neman la'ame istavish haref tachti v'lo kiyamti. So says Rashi. What does this mean? Yud kevavke means, according to Rashi, that I promised things and I delivered on my promises. That's Yud kevavke. So to the Avos, I never had to deliver on my promises. But to you, I'm going to deliver on my promises. Asks the Oznayim LaTorah. Lama dafka amidas kim avtacha nikra shem Hashem. What does Yud Kei Vav Kei have to do with fulfilling promises? What does the name Yud Kei Vav Kei have to do with fulfilling promises? V'yesh lomar. Shebasa v'dam ha-mavtiach. If a flesh and blood, a human being of flesh and blood promises something, if a human being of flesh and blood promises something, sometimes if a human being promises something, So what happens if he dies? So he can't fulfill the promise. He's gone. Mepnei bizman kim avtach enenu kvar ba'olam. Chinks of, al tiftuchu b'nedivim. Teitzei rucho yashav lad mas. Oh, bayomahu avdu ashtinu sav. Once his days are over, that's it. We never know when the days are ending. So you make a promise, you may not be able to keep it. You may not be here. Masha enikain, misha sivro al Hashem, hashomer emes la'olam. Hu batuach, someone who relies on Hashem. Shahav tocha tiskai mafil lizman merube. Ki uchai v'kayim la'ad. Hayo hove v'yiyah. Ah. Hayo, yudke v'avke stands for what? Hayo hove v'yiyah. Hashem is going to be around all the time. That's why he's the one who keeps the promises. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, in our times, we know that we have promises. We have a promise that there's going to be Mashiach. We have a promise that there's going to be Tchias HaMesim. We have a promise that there's going to be all these things. We have to have Bitachon and Hayahov of Yeh. He keeps his promises. He keeps his promises. Ushmi Hashem lo nadati lahem. Val pimi dezun hikra shem havaya baruch hu. Ushmi Hashem lahem. I'm Pirush Rashi. Venira. Shakavana hi alo samida. Hama chazal mei. Om lo yot samida tom bi gashmer v'chazim olerab. Gemara in Shabbos. Whenever Hashem promises something, he follows through. If Hashem promises something good, he's never going to back it out. Al pimidus harachim azos la'amis devarav, afilu kishachota mekabel atova nikra shem Hashem. Even if Klal Yisrael sins, if he promised it, they're going to get it. Very fascinating. That's Hashem azeh amida tova azos lo gilo la'avos. That name that he gives, even though they don't deserve, that he never told the avos, because they never sinned so badly by the avos. Kilohaya tzorich mazekim lo chatu lefanaval b'neim chatu u'moshe tamah. But when Klal Yisrael sinned in Egypt, so Moshe was wondering, v'chiyotzis b'nei Yisrael, how am I going to get them out of there? V'doroshu chazal mazuchos yesh b'yodom u'befrak kasherash me'oz bal dar b'al d'ruy. It got even worse. Once Moshe came up, it got even worse. Nisyayish, he started giving up hope. V'choshem shez yikar l'gul ha'yel l'rab. It was bad that he started getting people thinking about the gula. Because Hashem was thinking about Gula, he remembered all their sins. Therefore, Moshe backed out of the shlichas. No, Hashem says Yud Kevavke means I'm going to give them what I said I'm going to give them, even if they don't deserve it. Even if Klal Yisrael sinned and they don't merit the Gula, if I promised it, it's going to happen anyway. I'm going to redeem them because I promised Avos. God never backed out from a midah tova that he promised. We have a tradition, right? The pasuk says, "Ani Hashem beita achishena." When am I going to bring Mashiach? Beita achishena. In its right time, I'll make him come fast. The stira. What do you mean? In its right time, I'm going to make him come fast. So the Gemara says, "Zachu achishena." Lo zachu be'ita, which means that we're going to get Mashiach. A lot of times I think people think like things are going in the wrong direction. We don't find people becoming more and more from. We find people becoming less and less observant, and there's more and more intermarriage, and there's more things going on. We have a tradition. We believe that's what he's saying over here. Just like the Gula Mitzrayim happened, even though they didn't believe it because Hashem promised it. The same thing. We hope it's going to be Achishena. But if it's not going to be Achishena, it's going to be be'ita. There's going to be a redemption. For those people, Klal Yisrael is never going to be fully extinguished, and there's going to be redemption. For those people who hang on till the end, there's going to be redemption. We have a promise. Come, Jay, come join us. Thank you. Oh, you came just in time, Jay. Oh, so now there's a few final pieces here. I may end the shiur slightly early tonight. I have to get on the Zoom call at 9. Got to be home by 9. But we should be okay. Oh, now, the next point is mostly a psychological point. I try to pick out those things that are going to be life-inspiring ideas. This is more like a practical, psychological point. But let's see if we can mine, maybe we can mine some beautiful divrei hashkafa out of this. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes and he tells Klal Yisrael, hey, I'm here, it's all going to happen. Emor l'bnei Yisrael mi'Hashem, it's going to be great. V'lakachti, v'otzeisi, v'itzalti, v'galati, v'lakachti. Tell them this, give them hope. What happens? So Moshe Rabbeinu gives the mussar shmooze of his life, the leadership, 101. He's going to give them that speech, like he was appointed to be the rabbi, and it's his opening drasha, the first Shabbos at the installation. Here he comes, and he's going to come here on the scene to try to deliver Klal Yisrael out of Egypt. and he falls flat on his face. They didn't even hear what he had to say. They didn't hear him out. They couldn't even hear him. Forget about being inspired. So the Hasnaim Torah takes a very, very practical, approach here. And I think it's a big lesson in terms of how you want to convince people to follow you, how a parent wants to convince a child to follow in the right direction. When is the right time to talk to a child about what he should and shouldn't be doing, or what she should and shouldn't be doing, and when is not the right time? Right? It's got to be when the mind is open and willing and listened. And you have to know that you can't just ram it down at a time that's not appropriate. Let's see what he says. Anashim sveim ushketim al shamrehem efshar ladabri yimam barichus ulevayr lefneim shitas shonos. People who are calm and benachas, right? You fed them well, right? They're well fed. Like today we had faculty meetings, right? If you want to have a fighting chance at teachers listening to what you have to say at a faculty meeting, you got to feed them. You got to open up their minds. You got to put them in the right mood. So then they'll be willing to listen. If they're intelligent. People who are starving. I'm thirsty. These are slaves. They're working 24/7. They don't have time to rest. They don't have time to eat. They're steeped in plaster and bricks. You have to know, you can't speak long drushes to people like that. You could give them maybe a bite-sized vort for Shabbos, but you can't give them a long shear. They're not going to have time for a long shear. Ubefrat kasha levaylam shita shel philosophia banhagas olam al yidei hakadosh. What does that stand for? Yisparach. Yeah, Hashem hakadosh baruch yisparach. I think that's what it means. Hagas olam al yidei. Right, habayre yisparach maybe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gilo l'Moshe b'parasha zu sodos imalchusa derekia. HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to Moshe in this parasha deep mysterious secrets about how he operates. Eichu manigas olam v'diber ba'arichas. Hashem spoke at length. Sheyigal Yisrael gula achas she'arba. One gula that's made up of avot seisim yitzadiv gazel lakachti. He has a whole pshat on that. I don't go into it. U'Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu. Listen to this. Very, very fascinating. Shelo avad avodas perach. Moshe wasn't working hard. He was able to assimilate the entire Musar Shmuz because he didn't work so hard. Haven hatev is derech shem aval ha'am ha'oved avodas perach mesugal ayishem rak dvarim kitzarim. Moshe Rabbeinu should have realized that at this time the people were only able to hear something short. Shegulasam krova, just tell them short. The gula is happening. Umatzav murak fishal. Don't worry, the bad time is only temporary. Kamosha achosh shegov lufnei alos hashachar. Avol Moshe Masalem is Divrei Hashem Kamoshe Emerlo. But Moshe made the mistake, says the Zayim Torah, of giving him the ganze Musa Shmuz that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. Vayidaber Moshe gave him kol ha-philosophia ha-elokit ba-anhagas ha-olam him kol ha-richas shel dal l'shon shagula. Kein Kamoshe Emerlo v'yagvura el b'nei Yisrael shvurim ha-ritzutim. Klai Yisrael was broken. V'lo shamo ha-moshe mikotzer ha-dagosha ki lo ayu misugam ma'atzam l'shma ha-richas dvar m'shidas ba-anhagas ha-olam. Wow. Wow. So again, like I think, you know, so first of all, it's Tama, fascinating take. I mean, I guess it's the Pash Pshat of the Chumash. It's the Pash Pshat of the Chumash. I think the lesson is that, right, Kishem, the Gemara says, Kishem Shem Mitzvah Lomar Dover HaNishma, Kach Mitzvah Shelo Lomar Dover HaNeinu Nishma. And every person, every parent, every advisor, you have to know what kind of a speech is a person going to be willing to listen to? And when is going to be a time that a person is going to be open to listening to them? When a person's like exhausted after a whole long day or whatever, it's a difficult time. It's not the time for long Musar Shmuzes. You have to know when is a person going to be willing to listen. And finally, we have a couple of final pieces here, beautiful pieces, and I'm going to close with something in memory of my father because it literally reminds me this last part that we're going to learn tonight. We have three more awesome varts, three more amazing varts, and the last one I'm going to dedicate specifically to my father. Such a beautiful idea. Really speaks about exactly one dimension of the amazing, amazing life, end of life, particularly of my father. I want to talk about that in a minute. But here we go. First of all, unbelievable pshat over here. Unbelievable, creative, original. Nobody else says this pshat that he says, right? Nobody else says it. At least not the 13 commentaries that I've been learning over the last 13 years. I can't say nobody says that. I haven't learned every commentary in the world. But let's see. Hu Aaron Moshe. Right? Where is that pasuk? Let's look at it inside. So where is it? Pasuk Havav. Perek Vav. Pasuk Havav. Hu Aaron Moshe. Asher Amar Hashem Lehem Hotzi Yisrael. So, Hey Ma Medabrim. Hu Moshe Va'aron. Right? In Chavav it says, Hu Aaron Moshe. Chav Zayin says, Hu Moshe Va'aron. Zok says, I think it's Rashi says it. You have it over there, Jay. I think it's Rashi. But he quotes here, B'chol Malkam Hiknema Kos Moshe Va'aron. Usually in the Pasuk, it mentions Moshe before Aaron. But here, it mentions Aaron before Moshe. See? Hu Aaron Moshe. Yesh, Rashi says, Yesh makom l'shemak d'aron l'moshe, Yesh makom l'shemak d'aron l'moshe. Rashi says, remember, Aznaim l'Torah is usually a super commentary on Rashi. It's almost always working off of Rashi. Says Aznaim l'Torah. So what's going on? B'chom 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 but we know it's in Rashi. But wait a second. Asks the Aznaim l'Torah, Avol kfar nemar v'lo kam navi k'moshe. But it says Moshe was greater than Aaron. There was no Navi as great as Moshe. Listen to his brilliant, creative, original, and inspiring pshat. Look what he says. V'yesh lomar. And this is, I think, the key line on the Musar level. Tzadikim she'enan mevalen af rega echad mechayim levatala. Tzadikim use every single moment of life for something constructive. For something positive. They don't waste a moment of life. I think I've said this before. I've said this many times. My favorite pasuk in Tehillim, which we say every Shabbos morning, which I'm not going to say I actually live my life by, but I try. It's one of my big goals in life. It's exactly this point. Pasuk says, "Limnos yameinu kein hoda v'novi levav chachma." To count our days, to make every day count, to make every moment of every day is an opportunity. They say something nice to somebody, to give chizik to somebody, to encourage somebody, to be mekarev of some. Every minute you have a chance to do something with. You want to fill your life up to be productive, to be productive. My father was very much like that. I inherited a little bit of those genes. You're always doing something, always giving a shear, always going, always doing, right? You know, there's no such thing as downtime, right? What Bikish Yaakov, Shav Shavah. Like, we're going to get to that. So anyway, listen to what he says, unbelievable. So he says, listen, tzaddikim use every moment of greatness. So had Moshe and Aaron lived the same amount of years, they would have been exactly the same in greatness. But there's just one thing. Moshe Rabbeinu lived 3 more years than Aaron. So Mimele, he was greater than him. That's what it means. So they were actually equal in terms of the fact that each of them were able to use every moment of their lives for the good. But Moshe just happened to have had a couple more years. Yesh lomar. Sha'atzadikim she'in mavan afregech mechem mavatola olim b'madrigasim b'chol yom v'yom. So every moment, you're going higher in your madriga. Umemela, in Moshe, yashakol ka'aron, shayigolo mi Moshe b'shal ashanim. Oh, I said it the wrong way. Right. Aaron was 3 years older. So in Moshe, yashakol ka'aron, he says it slightly differently than the way I said it. I said it too fast. Listen again. Let's see what he says. In Moshe, if they would have been actually equal, shayigolo mi Moshe b'shal ashanim, Aaron was 3 years older. Hare, shalo kam kemoshe. So the pshat is she'asa me'a ve'esrim shana, ma she'asa Aaron be'kuf chaf gimel shana. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to accomplish in 120 years what Aaron accomplished in 123 years. That's what it means that he was greater. In fact, they were the same, he says. But Moshe Rabbeinu was able to accomplish in 120 what Aaron accomplished in 123. So they were the same, but Moshe was greater because he achieved the same in less time. But I think it's a chiddush of how to answer up the stira is brilliant. But I think the lesson is that righteous people use every moment. They view every moment here in life as a gift. They don't waste time. They're not like scrolling through videos on YouTube, or, you know, they're not just spending time. You know, time is a gift. Time is precious. Time is pregnant with ability to achieve, to accomplish, to grow, to help somebody, to do a chesed, to do a mitzvah, to everything, every moment. I love that pasuk in the mind. I always try to think about that pasuk. I say it every Shabbos morning. Limnos yamenu. It's in the middle of like the second or third paragraph from Tehillim. We say in the expanded pasuk different for Shabbos. I think it's in Tefillah Lemoshe, if I'm not mistaken. Limnos yamenu kein hoda. To count our days, that's wisdom. Kein hoda. V'navi levav chachma. Brings a person to a heart of real wisdom, to use every day wisely. Oh, now, the next piece, we have two more pieces. The next piece, I cut off the top a little bit. It's just a few words that you're missing. You're just missing a few words, so you'll trust me. I'll read it to you. And this is the obvious kasha everybody asked in this week's parsha. The obvious kasha: how could Hashem have punished Pyro if God hardened Pyro's heart? That's the kasha he's asking. So you can pick it up already from the top one. How could Hashem have punished Pyro if Hashem hardened his heart? That's not fair. Hashem hardened his heart, told him not to them, and then he's going to go punish them because he hardened the heart? Doesn't make any sense. If God, so this is my, the Ramban says the same thing as this. Ramban has two pshatim, but one of the pshatim, this is, I love this pshat so much, it's a great psychological insight. I'll just tell to you outside first what he says. He says, the Ramban says the same thing. He says like this. He says that you think that when he hardened his heart, it means he took away Paras Bechira. Just the opposite. By hardening his heart, he gave him Bechira. What do you mean gave him Bechira? Because the first five makos Paro on his own said, that's right, but Vayechazak leave Paro. It doesn't say Hashem was Mechazak, right? The first five, he was Mechazak his own. But like after five already, the guy, what was forcing him? Not that he wanted to listen to Hashem's will. He kept on getting smacked over there. Blood and frogs and lice. So by the fifth mako, the wild animals, everyone's up. So he's saying, forget it, just get out of here. But he wasn't doing it for the right reasons. So Hashem hardened his heart. It doesn't mean Hashem forced him to say, no. Hashem took away the psychological impact of the first five makos. So now he was like back to square one. So he had actually equal bechira to decide, should I send them out or not? So he decided, I'm not sending them out. When it says Hashem hardened his heart, it just means he took away the psychological impact of the first five. So he didn't take away his bechira, he gave him bechira. He lost his bechira after five makos because he was getting smacked so hard he wanted to send them out, not because he wanted to, but because of the makah. Let me tell you, I'll tell you in a minute why I love this verse so much. But first, let's read it. Valinicha. It's a little interesting. He says this like his own pshat. I'm sure he knew the Ramban. A little bit strange to me, but okay. Valinicha. Shelo lakachim menos habechira. God didn't take away Moshe Paro's bechira. Ella hikshas libo v'lachim menos hashpa she'asalo asaros makos. He just took away the influence, the psychological influence that he would be forced to send them out because of the makos. V'hu amar al bechira sa'achavshes. He put him back to actually having free choice with no outside influences. Like it would have been before the first Makkah. He put him back to the status quo ante, I think we call that. Status quo ante. He put him back to what it was in the beginning. Right? Usually they don't need Asra. This is also related to the famous Rambam by a forced get. We know that a forced get doesn't work, but the Rambam says it does work. So the Gemara wants to, so the Rambam once explains why is it. The Gemara says a forced get doesn't work. Shamakos misizrak sakfir shala yetzer. Because if a person's obligated to divorce his wife, his yetzahara tells him that, not to divorce her. So when you whip the guy, so you're just getting rid of the impact of the yetzahara to not divorce. Shamesis amagar shalo yishmal devi chachamim. Achrei asara sakfir, after you whip the guy into shape, and he says, okay, I agree. It doesn't mean that you'll say, oh, what kind of agreement is that? He doesn't really want to. No. He really wants to do the mitzvah chachamim because he's not allowed to stay married to this woman. She's also to him. That's the case. That the Bezdin forces him to divorce his wife. She's somebody else's wife, whatever. He's not allowed to stay. He's his relative. He's not allowed to stay married to her. So kofen osahat shiyoma rotzani means it was the yetzahara telling you not to divorce her. So the whips just get rid of the impact of the yetzahara. So now your deep desire to do the Ratzon Hashem is what's telling you to divorce her. Miskala Ratzon HaPlimi Shelo, U'megarish Mirtzono. Kein Hoya Machbid, Hashem Eslev Paro, He actually allowed Paro to really have free choice. His real deep inner desire, which was what? To not send them out. Oh, beautiful. Okay. So why do I love that pshat so much? I love that pshat so much because this is a tough one. This is a tough one. When a person asks himself, like, what is my real motivation for doing what I do? Let's say, Tzad HaTov even, right? So do we just do what we do because everybody else in our community is doing that, or because we were raised in a certain way by parents to behave in a certain way, or the community is telling us, or are we doing the MS because we believe it's the MS? Or are we just doing it because it's like peer pressure? Like, well, everybody in shul does this way, and my whole community does this way. This is where I was born. This is where I raised. This is the why I behave the way I behave. So this idea of the Ramban and the Oznayim Torah says a person has to be careful when he's doing things. Like Paro, he wanted to send Klal Yisrael out, but Hashem didn't let him. What do you mean? Because he was being influenced. It was peer pressure. It was not peer pressure. So we have to ask ourselves, how much of our avodah l'tov is because we're pressured into it? Now again, our parents are mechuyev to educate us. They have to inspire us. But at the end of the day, we're supposed to believe ourselves. You know, the fact that my father passed down the Mesorah to me, he's supposed to do that. He educates me, but I'm not doing it because he told me to do it. We're supposed to do it because we think it's the right thing. You have to acquire it. You have to believe in it. And it's tricky. Sometimes there's some people who are like, they just, you know, they go along with the flow. So they're just doing everything well. My mother did it this way. My whole community does it. Why do we do this? I don't know. But that's what everyone's doing. So that's not really the type of service that Hashem is looking. That's what the Mesil Sharm first to the Navi calls mitzvah anashim melumada. A lot of times people just, you know, they go by habit. They just, oh, I went to Shacharis today because I went to Shacharis yesterday. I've been going to Shacharis for 20 years. But they don't stop to think about, like, is this really what I should be doing? Now, it could be a little dangerous because people might feel empty and say, well, no, I really don't think that there's that. I really don't understand this. And so we talk shalol lishma, ba lishma. There's an idea of going shalol lishma. But anyway, that's why I like this idea, because it causes a person to constantly check yourself at the door and make sure that you're being over the Hashem for the right reasons. And now one last piece in honor of my dad. One last piece in honor of my dad. Oh, hold on. Oh, here it is. Yeah. Umoshe ben Shmonim Shana. Okay. And there's an implied question which he doesn't ask, but there's an obvious question. Why is the Chumash telling me that he was 80 years old when he went to Paro? You know what he says? Because most people, when they hit 80, they want to retire to the beach, sipping a martini. That's what most people want to do when they retire. My last conversation with my father was how overjoyed he was that he was 73 working in a middle school. And my last conversation with him was how overjoyed he was that they agreed to renew his contract for another 2 years, that he was able to continue to lead the davening and teach the sixth grade girls Mishnah class, and he could continue. Because, you know, when you get older, like, you think, like, you're losing touch. You're out of touch. You know, they're going to send you out to pasture when you're a Rebbe, you know, or he was an associate principal. And Baruch Hashem, he was beloved, he, whatever. It was 4 months before he passed away, they honored him at a dinner, and, like, they had 100 people, you know, talking about these 10-year-olds and 11-year-olds, about what a deep impact he made on their lives. A 73-year-old man on a 10-year-old, an 11-year-old. What happened to being out of touch, not being with it? Anyway, look at this beautiful pshat. He says, Moshe ben Shmonim Shana. Nagu olam lanuach le'ez zikna. He says, the world has a minhag. When you get to be a certain age, they turn you out to pasture. It's time to stop being active. Not for you anymore. In the Lubavitcher Rebbe book, there's a story there about how his accountant, like, started losing it when he got older. But he dafka, like, used to go to his accountant and ask him questions, which were obvious questions that he knew. But he wanted to make sure the accountant felt relevant. He had helped him his whole life. Now he's older. He didn't want the guy to feel like he's not relevant anymore. That's the scariest thing about getting old, is people are going to feel that they're not relevant. Like, what do I have to contribute? You know, that's the scariest thing. Nagu olam luch leisiknam v'afilu p'kidim mekablam chofesh me'adoneim. Retirement. Even pekidim, even, like, I don't know, directors, managers. This is the way of the goyim. Everybody's, just get me to retirement. Like, get me to that time where I can do nothing and accomplish nothing and mean nothing to nobody. Unbelievable. That's what the goal of life is. To get to that place where I don't care about anything and I mean nothing to nobody. That's not the way of the Chachmei Yisrael. She calls man shemazkinim. The older they get, mosifin ometz belimud uvatikin midoseim. V'chol bedek beir uvamedina. V'hamikah shalfaneim alamdenu ad kama yiskon derech chachmi v'ziknei Yisrael. B'imei Moshe niskatzuk farshnos adam. In the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, people weren't living so long anymore. V'mavur b'tfilo l'Moshe. Ah, exactly the paragraph I was quoting before. Yimei shnosein abem shivim shana v'im begvuros. Shmonim Shana, like that was the life expectancy at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. It was 70 and 80 years. So you would think it's like 80 years old. It's time for him to slow down. No, not Moshe Rabbeinu. B'chol ofen, nimtzu az Moshe Rabbeinu b'mei hayirida v'azikna. Certainly they were on the way down. Afilu lefi ma she'aricha yamim she'avru b'davar ha'paro, beis shlishim shosem, there were two-thirds of their lives. V'rom ha'polu, v'asu achim elu beis shel chom min anashu le'zikna. Look what these people accomplished. Two-thirds of the way into their lives. They were 80 years old. At the twilight of their days. Most people would like retire and sit on the beach. This is Rav Saratzkin talking to each one of us. Pay close attention here. Right? Had Moshe Rabbeinu retired, who would have given us the Torah?
He
says, what would the world have been if Moshe and I would have turned it in? They would have mailed it in. In order for all of us, all of Klal Yisrael, to not subscribe to this terrible approach, that person should sit batel in his last days, Kasva Torah, Shemosh Ben Shmonim, V'Aaron Ben Shmonim Shalosh, B'Davon El Paro. Wow. My father was like that. My father never wanted to retire. We said to my father, maybe it's time to slow down. My father, what do you mean? He got his whole chiyus from running the middle school minion, 6th, 7th, 8th grade. My second to the last conversation with him, he says to me, Yisrael, he says, I can't. I'm shocked at how beautiful the YNJ 6th, 7th, and 8th grade boys' minion is. I can't believe these kids are quiet. They're davening. He took such a pride. One time, it was a summer, and he was davening in B'nai Asher in the shul. It was a summer. There was no school. So he met another Rebbe YNJ. The guy told me the story at the shiva. So the other Rebbe said to him, isn't it a pleasure, you can daven in a shul yourself? You don't have to worry about the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders who's talking. You don't have to shush them. Isn't it a pleasure? My father looked at him like he was from Mars. It's a pleasure. He says, I'm looking forward to getting back to the minyan. I get my whole chiyas from the minyan. I love davening with the 6th, 7th, 8th. I love trying to inspire them to daven the right way. Someone actually, I don't have it. I won't show my phone. Someone sent me today that Shimmy Klein's son-in-law, Benjamin Casper, is coming out with a new sitter. He wrote the introduction to Koren, is coming out with a new sitter. So Casper wrote the introduction, and he thanks my father in the introduction, who ran the teen minyan in Tina for 22 years, and he says that his connection to tefillah came from my father, the way he used to. Now he's writing a sefer on tefillah, right? And the whole thing came from the way my father used to. He said it, the teen minyan, you know what a teen minyan is. But my father used to he was firm, but he was warm and encouraging. And, he tried to tell the guys why tefillah is so important. So he did YNJ for 16 years. He ran the middle school minyan. And so many people, there's a video of all these people. Anyway, my point is we don't believe in retiring. We don't believe in retiring from life. I'm like, oh, you get old and now you're overbuttle. And no, we have to, every moment of life, the Rambam writes that a person's mechuyev to learn Torah even if you're sick and elderly and frail and you have no ability. We believe that the older you get, the od yinuvim b'seva, the shenim rananim yiyu, right? That we should keep on having the koiches to be able to learn, to be able to daven, to be able to do chasadim. There's no such thing as getting old and being irrelevant. To Moshe ben Shmonim Shana, they accomplished a lot after 80. V'Aaron ben Shmonim Shalosham. Okay, we learned a lot of things relevant, and thank you very much for coming. For the next 2 weeks, there will not be Parsha Shir. We're on a vacation, but Bez Hashem, so that's Bo B'Shalach. There will not be any vacation. February 1st, okay, we'll be back into it. Yisro, Parsha's Yisro. Thank you for coming, everyone. If you get a vacation, you should enjoy it, and thank you very much for coming.